Okay, we're holding four lines from the bottom of Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. We're in the words of Chen HaGodeles. So we mentioned over there in the Mishnah told us that a woman who braids her hair, or if she's kocheles, or if she fixes her hair, all those things, Rabbi Elazar says are going to be chayav. Now the Gemara analyzes. The Gemara says, Kodeles, kocheles, upasekes, mishumai mechayves. Someone who is braiding her, or she painting her eyes, or she's fixing her hair, what avalacha, according to Rabbi Elazar, is she going to be doing? The Gemara says, Amar Avin, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, kodeles, mishum oreges. So if someone is braiding her hair, it's like oreg, or it's like weaving. That malacha is a malacha of weaving on Shabbos. Kucheles mishum kusavas. Someone who's painting her eyes, putting on the makeup, is going to be chayav mitzad kosev, that she's going to be writing, just like Rashi points out, that she's like outlining where to paint her hair, paint her eye. So that is a problem of kosev. Posekes mishum tova. And someone who is putting or fixing her hair, or potentially some explain it's like applying a blush. Rashi seems to go with the fact that it's adjusting your hair, but others say that it's a blush, whatever it is. So she's mechayev mishum tove, tove is spinning, and Shabbos, Rashi points out, what does she do? She puts her fingers through her hair, she strains it, like it's tangled, that's like tove, that is very similar to the thing of removing strands from one another. So now the Gemara asks, though, Amar Rabbanan kamid Rabbi Abba, the Rabbanan asks in front of Rabbi Abba, how could this be al-malachos v'chi aderech harigabachach v'dirachsiyokach v'chidarech tzviyabachach? Is this the manner of any of these three things? Is this how people normally weave with their hair? Do people write by painting their eyes? And this is the way people spin with their hair? All these things are not in the normal manner. So how could Rabbi Elazar possibly hold that you're chayav? So where's the element? Rabbi Bawa did even partially mean it. Rabbi Yosef Chanina has explained to me the name of Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Turning on to the next number now. Kocheles b'shum tova. Someone who's painting her eyes is going to be chayav. He's dying. Now mitzad ksiva. Godelas apasek b'shum bona. Someone who's braiding, fixing her hair, but chayav the melacha of bona of building on Shabbos. And Gemara asks, v'chi derech binyan b'kach. Is that the way someone normally builds with their hair? So Gemara says, and yeah, we have a pasuk that seems to imply that is the derech kedadarish Rabbi Shimon ben Unasya vayivin Hashem l'kimel tzela. And Gosh Baruch Hu talking about Hashem creating Chava, it says that Hashem built from the side, he taken from a man and then he made into a woman. So now the Gemara learns out, melamed shekliya Gosh Baruch Hu l'chava vivei etzel Adam Gosh Baruch Hu, he braided Chava's hair and he's brought it to Adam shekin b'karche yam in certain cities in the sea. Korin klikliyakasa banaisa. They call someone who's braiding a hair, someone who's building the hair, and therefore this builder is lashon in the pasuk, and therefore this is halachically defined as building, and then someone would be chayav mitzad bone for putting your hair in that way. The Gemara now continues and quotes the Brisa Tanur of Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Godelas kocheles uposekes la'atzma patura. Someone who does all these things, she's braiding her hair, she's painting her eyes, or fixing her hair, if she's doing it for herself, then she's not going to be chayav the chaver to chayav, only if she's doing it for her, she's going to be chayav. What's the difference? Rashi points out that someone who is doing it for herself can't possibly do a good job, because she can't really see it as she's doing. She's in the mirrors and things like that, but she wasn't doing it properly. So therefore, that's not considered the normal derech. The only normal derech, Rashi points out, is the way that doing it for your friend, it's in the pasuk. So we saw that Akash Baruch Hu did it for Chava. That was pretty similar to do it for your friend as well, and not doing it for yourself. The Gemara now continues. So now Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was saying the name of Rabbi Eliezer. He was saying Isha lo savir srak apanem mishum chetovas, that a woman shouldn't put. Rashi points out that it's like this type of reddish powder that they used to put on her face to color. It looks like it's therefore she's dyeing her skin, and that is problematic on Shabbos. I saw that the Minchas Yitzchak wants to extend this, even though this is very direct. Minchas Yitzchak wants to extend the Isser potentially to someone who wants to go outside with a suntan. To the specifically color of face, even though obviously it's much less of a level, he so is, but he thinks this is one reason. He has other reasons also, but his cheshbon is that this should be us. He quotes other achronim also who rule this way, that going out specifically for the purpose of getting a suntan, based on this gemara over here, that putting this reddish dye is problematic. Mitzad tova to dye. So he thinks that you can extend that again. It would be much less direct, and maybe room to argue. But he held that would be usher. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan Acholev, someone who milks an animal, Mechabe, someone who Rashi gives two pshatim. Rashi's first pshat is that they were talking about over here that they do they place the milk into the stomach. The cave of an animal is very nogan for Simon Peizan. I don't know when brachas or brasar v'chol. This comes up where the cave of the milk in the animal, when it's defined as halachic dairy, when it's not okay. But here and you put it where it has the enzyme of rennet that causes the milk to curdle. So that according to Rashi is the first explanation of what mechabit is. Rashi then gives another explanation over here that he says it's when you have the milk when they used the process of making milk that they used to make cheese, so they would curdle milk, they would add the enzyme, they would have before that, it would separate the milk into the more solid parts and the more liquid parts. The more solid parts would solidify and that would become cheese. So the more liquid parts, though, however, those would become what we know as whey. That's the whey that it has much less taste. Till a few years ago, no one was ever using whey. Whey, they realized, has a ton of protein. It's extremely healthy. So people use it all the time in the protein shakes and things like that. But why no one used it? Because it was tasteless. All the part that people wanted was the part that tasted good, which was the cheese part. That was the more solid part. So over here, Rashi's explanation over here is talking about the whey is going to fall into. That's what we're talking about. That's the malacha of mechabetz when it starts to congeal and start to get more more solid. So more of a gavin. Someone is actually megamer lashon of gavina, making cheese. So they presses the curds to form that block of cheese. Kegugaris, the minimum shear person of mechayev is the amount of a fig. Now the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, someone who sweeps the floor of his house, someone who fulfills it with the dust, he sprinkles water over the floor, Rashi points out to the dust from rising, removes loaves of honey, meaning honeycombs from a beehive, shagag b'shabes chayev chattas, if he did this by accident, he'll be chayev chattas, hazy b'yomtiv lo karbar, if he did it on purpose, and yomtiv, Chayav 40 lashes, interesting lashon. Why do you have to use the lashon of forgetting on Shabbos Chayav Chatas? Why don't you say you did it on purpose? Chayav Misa. Interesting. Did Rabbi Eliezer v'Chacham Omrim Echazer v'Chazer Einu Ela Mishum Shavus? Chayav hold up both of these, meaning all these actions over here is only going to be Chayav Mi Dirabanan. Is not going to be Chayav the Malacha De Oraisa. So the big Chalkas Rishonim over here, Rashi and Rambam and others, they explain that the Rabbanim only argue with Rabbi Eliezer in the case of the Braisa's last three cases, the cases we're just mentioning now of Mechavin Merabitz and Rodes Duchalas Tavash. However, they agree that the first part of the brisa of cholev mechabetz megaben, when it comes to the milking and the getting the whey and the making cheese, those are all going to be chayav medaraisa. But that's a machlokas. Other Rishonim, the Magen Mishnah quotes, he quotes others that hold that all these six cases, they argue on all of them. The Chachamim hold all of them are only derabanan. That's a big machlokas lemaisa between those Rishonim. The Gemara continues. Rav Nachman Rigori are iklid in Arda. Rav Nachman were visited in Arda. Bo minei, and they asked of him a cholev mishum may mechayev. Someone who milks an animal on Shabbos, what is he chayav? What has he done? Or lei mishum cholev. That's what he did. He milked the cow. That's the obvious. Someone who produces the way again the two pshatim Rashi, whether it's using the calf to create the milk, the whey, or so what has he done? That's what he done. The malach of mechabetz, megavin mashum mechayev. Someone who creates cheese, makes cheese on tapas. What has he done? Amar lemashum megavin. Also, he made cheese. So to which they're saying, Amar lelei rabach katu kane beagma have. Your teacher is literally a reed cutter in a swamp. Meaning he did. Rashi says it doesn't teach you how to explain any braces. You've just explained the lashon of the braces. You didn't explain why it's usher. So therefore, the Gemara continues that Asher Shalvi Midrashas, and he went to the base Midrash. He asked, "What's shot over here?" Amar Lelei, so they explained, "Cholev is chayav mishum mefarik." That someone who's milking a child is going to be chayav the malach of mefarik, which is Tosfos points out is malach of dash of threshing. Someone extracting grain from its outer cover. Over here, someone who's milking an animal is extracting the milk from the animal's udders. That is malach of mefarik over here. Mechabetz is chayav mishum borer. Someone who's straining the milk and taking and sorting out between the more solid part and the more liquidy part, that's very much similar to border, which is the malacha of separating on Shabbos. Megabin mechayev mishum bona. Someone who makes cheese is going to chayev mishum bona of building on Shabbos because he presses the curds into a block and that pressing them into the block. That is the malacha of building on Shabbos, of putting two things together and building it up. Now the Gemara continues. Hamechabed v'hamirabed tarod echalos dvash. Someone who sweeps the floor, or he lays out the dust, or he moves the loaves of honey from the beehive. Shagav v'shabbos chayev chatas. If you did it by accident on Shabbos Chayav Chatas. Hey, if you want to look at our bar, Rabbi Elazar, that's Rabbi Elazar says. And Gemara analyzes this. Rabbi Elazar now says, "My tama de Rabbi Eliezer." What is the reason of Rabbi Elazar that said that removing the honeycombs from the beehive is going to violate an adinda? Right. So the Gemara says, "Tichsev aipol osav yaros tvash." This pasuk is a reference to Shmuel. It's in Sefer Shmuel. It's the reference to when Yonasan didn't listen to Shaul HaMelech, made a gzira that no one should be eating anything, and he put his staff down, right, and he ate the honey. So the way that the pasuk describes the honey that he ate, it says Vayit bol osa biyaras dvash, that he dipped it into the forest of honey again when he was using his staff to get it. The weird lashon over here. What's the connection of forest between the lashon of the honey over here? So the Gemara says, Elomar lachas, is to teach you my yara tolish menu b'shabes chayev chatas, just as that we see someone who when it comes to a tree, if you detach a tree, you're going to be chayev chatas, afchalos So too, when it comes to the loaves of a honey in a beehive, someone who removes them on Shabbos is going to be chayev chatas, because we see that the Tarshim actually points out is based on tolesh, is going to be malach of reaping on Shabbos. So therefore, that would be the iser deraisa over here. Now the Gemara continues. Amimar sharis zilcha b'mechoza. Amimar, he allowed someone to sprinkle the floors of the dust in Mechoza. Amar, he said, in explanation of his ruling, time of my Amar Rabbanu, what is the reason that we have this gear in the first place? Dilma Asay Lashwe Gumos, the person's going to level out the holes in the ground, and that would be Mitzad Bona, that's a told of Bona, Mashra Gumos is the Issa Dereisa. So the Gemara says, Ha'chaleka Gumos, but in Mechoza, there's nowhere in the whole city, they don't have holes, because all the floors are made of stone, therefore the whole reason the Gzera doesn't apply. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Tosfai, that's a big Shiloh, when we would not say that the Gzera applies, but there does apply. A lot of people make it nowadays. On all these shaylos. Rava Tosfai Ishkafel Ravina the Kametzari Mehavla. So Rava Tosfai, he found one Shabbos someone was. It was very dusty in the house. Some say there was Mark Shisha, the son of Rava, who saw Rav Ashi was very bothered by the dusty ear. He was allergic to dust, whatever it was. Do you not hold of what it says in the Braisa? Rotsa the Rabbi says Besa. Someone who wants to put the dust of his house on Shabbos, maybe a Rav Amalei Amayim. He brings a basin full of water. So he washes his face in this and washes his face in that, in the corners. And then what would he do? It comes out, by doing that, the melo, it's going to come out, that's as a side effect, is going to be that the water spilling out is going to get rid of the dust. So Amar Lei, Lavadaita, you're right, I didn't realize that's a proper way of doing it. Rashi gives two pshat, and whether he didn't realize that that's a short pshat, or maybe he doesn't agree with it. That's the second pshat Rashi gives. So Gemara says now, Tana, we learn in the Braisa, Isha Chachom Mirab Betzes Beis HaBeShabbos, that the wife or a daughter of Talmud Chacham, of a Torah scholar, they're allowed to put the dust in the house of Shabbos by rinsing out the dishes, Rashi points out, or maybe the cups, whatever it might be, Rashi points out, doing those things is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, now that we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, who holds the Malacha, Davar Shin Miskavin is going to be mutter, as long as it's not a psik ratio, it's not definitely going to happen. So over here, we would assume that therefore, since the putting the dust is getting rid of the dust in this manner is not necessarily going to always create Mashra Guma, so it's leveling out the holes. So therefore, we hold like Rav Shimon, so this would be mutter, even like Chachila, to do this Eitza. Okay, so with that, we can go on to the next mission. Now we're going to go discuss a lot of dinim we're discussing, but Atzit Nakov, Atolesh Me Atzit Nakov. Someone who plucks a plant from a flower pot that has a hole in it on Shabbos, then you're going to be chayev, you'd be chayev the malacha de reisa, even though the plant is not connected to the ground. Rashi points out, nevertheless, it's still considered, it's yonik, it gets its nourishment from the ground, so therefore we would view it halachically as mechubar lekarka, and therefore one would be chayev for the malacha of tolesh, which is a told of koter, of reaping. The tolesh is plucking it out, koter is reaping it. So this is the din of the Mishnah. Chayev she'enu nakov, however, if there is no hole in the flower pot, putter, then there would be no problem, because it's not yonic at all from the ground. It's not nourished from the ground, and therefore it's considered detached from the ground, and therefore it's not considered as if you're removing something that was detached from the ground. There was no malacha that has been done. What about removing it from the flower pot itself? So they point out, based on Rashi later on, that the flower pot is not the natural place of where it's growing, so therefore pulling it out of there is not going to be the malacha d'oraisa of Tolesh. That's a big shayla nachronim to discuss this, but that is even midrabanan, though everyone would agree, it'd be usher to take it out from a pot with no hole in it. That's also midrabanan of not plucking it out. Now the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon poter bezeh ubezeh. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be putter in both examples when you take it out from a pot that has a hole or a pot that doesn't have a hole. It doesn't matter if it's yonic from the ground or not. According to Rabbi Shimon, since it is lamaisa detached from the ground, it's not halachically going to matter whether or not it got its nourishment from the ground. Now the Gemara says, Rami le Abai le Rava. Abai had a question with Shitas Rabbi Shimon to this. Some says Rabbi Chia bar Rav to Rav. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon poter bazevzer. Rabbi Shimon says that someone who plucks out a plant from a flower pot, in both examples, he's going to be pater, whether we assume that it was atit nakov or she'en nakov, whether it had a hole or not. Alma nakov Rabbi Shimon. So we see from this Mishnah, we learn that that when it has the hole in it, according to Reb Shimon, so Amanakov the Reb Shimon, Shein the Makalashvay. Reb Shimon always will say that whatever a flower pot has a hole, doesn't have a hole, it is going to have the same malachic status in all examples. Or Aminu, however, we can have a kasha based on the following. The Baisa says, Reb Shimon is stira, Reb Shimon Omer, Ein Beinakov, Lashainakov, turning on to the next number now, Elala Hakshir, Zroyam Bilvat, that the only difference between Nakov and Einanakov is with regards to creating the susceptibility to Tuma. So we see that, in fact, that there is a chilek, Reb Shimon Einachanami, it's only one chilek in all of Shas, in all of the halachas, but there is a chilek. Agav, what is this chilek about Lahakshir's rhyme? So we know that the Torah tells us that only when something comes into contact, only when it comes into contact with water, or really not just water, the Gemara learns out, we learn out it's really the seven mashkim, the famous mnemonic Yad Shachat Dam. Yad Shachat Dam is a good way to remember the seven mashkim, that if any of these liquids will go on to any plant or anything like that, after it has been detached from the ground, it is what's going to be called hechsher. It's going to be machshirit, machshirin. The whole Masechet Machshirin is discussing this. It's going to be machshir these foods from now going forward to be susceptible to tumah. Before then, while it's attached to the ground, or before water or any of these liquids go onto it, it would not become tameh. And again, what is the mnemonic yad shachatam? These seven mashkim are yad is yayin, dalet is dvash, shachat is shemen, chalav and tal, and dam is dalet for dam, and the mem is for mayim. Those are the seven mashkim. Those are the seven things that would render it from now mekana l'haba. So Rabbi Shimon is saying that there is a difference. And when it comes to the halachas of susceptibility to tumah, if it's yonik from the ground, if it has a hole in it, and therefore it's getting its nourishment from the ground, then in that circumstance, Rav Shimon would agree that it is not susceptible to tumah. However, every other halacha, he says, it's fully the same, and there's no difference. But when it comes to hachshir tumah, if it has no hole, there is a difference, halacha l'maisa, that it wouldn't become susceptible to tumah if there was no hole, and it would become susceptible to tumah if there was a hole. So there's a stira in das Rav Shimon. So the Gemara answers now, Amr Lei. So Rava answered, and he said back to Baya, l'chol milei, we're discussing of all halacha, Reb Shimon Ketalish Mashvilei, that Reb Shimon would agree that whether it has a hole or not, it is going to be the same halachas. V'shanil inan tumah. However, the guards to tumah, it's going to be different. Why is it make a chiluk when it comes to machshirin over here? Da Torah ribsa tahara etzel zarim, because the Torah added a tahara with respect to the seeds that they're going to be susceptible to tumah. What is that? Shenemar, the pasuk says al kol zera zerua asher yizareah, that if it's going to fall on any sowing of the seed that is sown, and repeats it again. Over the extra reboy is teaching us that we learn from here that the words of Asher Yizareah that is sown again is teaching us that liquid would become susceptible to tumah only if the seed is in a form which could be taken out to sow, meaning that it's completely detached from the ground. A seed, Rashi points out that even if it's slightly, mamish, very little, attached to the ground, halachically we would view it as attached, and therefore you would not be susceptible to tumah. So therefore, we have over there that point. Now the Gemara continues analyzing Rav Shimon. The Gemara says, "Bamina hu sabim Rav Zera." This old person. There's one, a certain guy, an old man, who asked Rav Zera, again, the Tosfos quote, the famous Tosfos Nechulin quote, that there, every time it says hu sabim shas, they disagree, but there is a sheet like that, and they're showing him that every time it says it was stopped, it's referring to Eliyahu Navi. There's stiras and stories that we had a story in Shabbos earlier that seems to clearly indicate that this wouldn't be the case. So now the Gemara, either way, so whoever it is, whether it was a regular old person, Eliyahu Navi, they asked him, Shorish Keneged Nekev Mali Amar Shimon. What about in a situation where the root that it's growing out of is directly opposite the hole of the flower pot? Would maybe Rav Shimon agree over there that we would view it like the ground over there? Because in this circumstances, it's mamish right. It's literally opposite it, so therefore it's right there. Maybe you would assume that it would be subject to the fact that it's going to be considered connected to the ground. So the Gemara says, Ishtik, Reb Zera wasn't sure. Meaning he didn't say anything and he wasn't sure what the halach would be. So then one time Reb Zera was sitting and he said that Reb Shimon would agree that if the flower pot was open enough to make the kli tahor, then one would be chayav for taking it out. It would be chayav from the lacha of Tolesh over here, because that is considered like it's fully attached to the ground. What is this concept that it was enough to make a tahor? So we saw before, already earlier, we saw this, that when a kli is broken enough to make it nullified halachically. So therefore, it's no longer viewed as a halachic kli if it's broken off. Even though it's tamei, it no longer remains tamei anymore because it's considered a different item because as soon as it's broken. And the Mishnah and Kalim discusses many different Kalim how big do each have to be. So here, in this case of the cheres, it has to be kimotzi. Rashi points out it has to be kimotzi zayis. It has to be enough that a hole that's big enough that an olive goes through there. If that's enough, if you have a hole that's big enough that olive will go through it, in that circumstance, then the entire kli would be viewed as tahar. So according to Reb Zera b'das Reb Shimon, if you have a kli that's broken enough that it has at least an olive-sized hole in the kli, then in that circumstance, Reb Shimon would agree that now, since there is no halachic kli anymore, it's considered fully mechuber lekarka, fully attached to the ground. Amar Lei, to which the elder responded back to Reb Zera, when I asked you regarding the root that was directly opposite the hole, you didn't even know the answer to that question. Then nika bechtei terasa mibay. So then, in the case where over here you tell me because the kli is now tar because there's an olive size hole in this kli, you're assuming that the whole thing is now connected to the ground. But why should that be? Lamaisa, you're saying that meaning even the parts that are not directly opposite the hole are going to be considered attached. Why should that be? You weren't even sure the parts that are directly opposite the hole, which clearly we would assume there's way more of a reason to assume that that's attached to the ground. And now you're telling me the things that maybe not even opposite the ground are also going to be halakhically attached to the fi shitas Reb Shimon. So therefore, this is very difficult. So we see from Rashi that the Hahusaba, the elder person, accepted the fact that the pot is going to lose its status as a utensil, that the roots directly opposite are going to be considered mechuber lekarka lefi Reb Shimon. But he's bothered by the parts that are not directly opposite that hole. Why should those be mechuber lekarka? So the Gemara gives an answer. Amar Abaye v'itmar lahad Reb Zira hachiu demet bari. So you're right. If we're going to explain Reb Zira, we have to explain it like this. Umode Reb Shimon she'im nikev lemata miravius. That Reb Shimon is going to agree that if the hole was below a revius, Rashi points out, is that the part so close to the bottom of the fire pot that remained the hole, you couldn't have a revius of liquid, then all of the roots that are considered are going to be halachically attached to the ground, and someone would be chayav for taking them out, for removing them on Shabbos. The tolesh should be chayav on tolesh of that. So, just to give Rashi points out over here, that there's another factor in this answer of Abaye. So that there's a concept that when we break a kli, that if you break, that it's no longer functional, it's going to remove its status from tamei to tar. However, if you have shards if you have gistra, it's called gistra, Rashi quotes it, if you have shards that are big enough to actually have a function, let's say they can have a revius of liquid, then those fragments are not going to be considered tahar yet, because they're still you can still use them. So since you can still use them, those are going to remain tamei. But Abaye was arguing with Das Reb Zera over here, is that Reb Zera was saying that if it breaks even past the point where it's no longer to be holder of vias anymore, so it's not even a shaila of a gistra anymore, it's not going to be considered a utensil at any level, in that circumstance, Reb Shimon would agree that the flower pot would be then considered mechubel karka only at that point. And therefore there would be, because the fact that it's mamish, not a kli whatsoever at all, the whole thing is mechubel karka at that point, that would be reason why there was no suffix with Das of the Reb Zera didn't have a suffix with Reb Shimon, and the reason to be mechalek between that case and where he asked him, where it's directly yonik from the ground below, where it's only part of the kli was broken and not the entire thing, because you still had gistros in that example. Okay, now the Gemara continues. The Gemara now says, Amar Rava said chamesh midos bekli cheres. There are five important halachic shiurim sizes that are going to be important for kli cheres, for earthenware utensil. What are they? Nikev kimotzi mashke. When it was nikev, if it was opened up with a hole that's big enough to let liquid out, Rashi points out it's letting liquid out, that it would leak a little bit, meaning this is the smallest hole that can affect the status of this of earthenware vessel. All you have is a small leak. Then tahar milavatame gistra. Then it's going to be considered, so, which is important to note, whenever I'm going to mention Torah over here, it means different things in different contexts. So here, in this meaning over here, Torah means that it's no longer going to be considered a usable gistra anymore, because if, as it is, it was a shard, and now it has a little bit of a leak, no one would ever use that. So therefore it loses its status as a utensil, even this tiny leak is going to remove it. However, when it comes to it's not going to be a Torah enough, it's not going to render the clay cheres tahor if you had a little bit of a leak in it. But If it's a complete utensil, it's still going to be it's going to be a lacha utensil to sprinkle the waters of the para aduma with it. We know that the para aduma required kli cheres al mayim chayim al keli. It needs to have a kli to use that. So the so over here, this kli, Rava is teaching us that even utensil which had the hole and allowed to be kutched up is going to be a lacha kli in order to use it for the mechatas, for the using the sprinkling waters of somebody who is tamei meis and required the hazah and shlishavi on the third and seventh day of the week of his tuma. Nikev kikovis mashke. So there's some, if it was at all, kikovis mashke rather. Sorry. So if it was, if you had a hole in this klicheris, in this earthenware vessel, and it was big enough to allow liquid to seep in, that which is bigger than slightly bigger than the shear we just had before, then tarim lekadosh b'mechatas. Then it's going to be invalid for using. It's not considered a kli even for. It's not considered a kli for the process of the mechatas, of sanctifying the mechatas, because less than this status of holding the water is considered. It's going to have water seeping in. It's no longer considered a kli. But dying kli lehachshir bozrem. However, this is going to be still considered utensil enough with respect to the fact that seeds are growing in this type of pot would be susceptible to tumah lefi what we said before, the fear of Shimon, meaning that is going to still be considered detached from the ground and not attached to the ground. So it's still going to be machshir tumah for these plants, these seeds in this pot. Nikev kishorish katan, however, if it was, there's a hole the size of a small root, this would be, again, slightly larger than the shear that we just mentioned before. Tar melachshir bozraim, it's then going to be, even, it's not going to make these raim tame anymore. They're going to remain tar, meaning that if you have plants in this kli, in this vessel, it's not going to be considered as if it's not, it's going to be considered as if it's mechubar the karka, it's still connected to the ground. Why? Because it's mamish not a kli anymore, even for the halachas of being connected to the ground. It's really, we really view it as now being connected to the ground. But dying kli lekabos ozizim, however, it's still going to be the shear, it's still going to be a kli with regards to tumah vatara, that we know when it comes to tumah vatara, as long as it's fit to, as long as it's the hole, it's not big enough to have kones zesim, then it would still be to have the size of an olive, then it would still be halakhically status as a kli for regards to tumah. So, because it still has a function, as long as it's still able to, if it doesn't have a hole big enough to have a zesim, it's still considered functionable. However, nikif kamot zesim, if it was, the hole was big enough to have olives go through it, tar melekabel zesim, at that point, it's no longer going to be tame anymore because it's no longer able to contain olives. And since it's not able to contain olives, then it's the general shear. It's going to be considered a tar for that purpose. However, it's still going to be its utensil with respect to if a person decides to hold pomegranates, which are much bigger, so they're not afraid if there's a hole of his eyes. And as pointed out, Rashi points out over there, though, that this would be only the only time that would be the case is if the owner decides to designate it to use pomegranates. Therefore, his designation would then make it tame for him, for the owner himself. But a normal person would not be tame. Now, what if Nikiv Kemotz Reisim, what if it was even you have a big enough hole, even pomegranates go, there's a really big hole in this kli now, in this earthenware vessel, tarma klum, it's going to be completely tar, it's not even subject to tumah anymore. Why? Even if, let's say the owner wants to use even, I don't know, pineapples or things that are even bigger than a pomegranate, there, the Achronim point out, because it's batla deita tzakadam, because normal people, no one would designate it for anything, so therefore, even if he decides to use it, it's still going to be tar at that point, because it's not considered a kli anymore. Mehukaf tamid patil, but if it was surrounded by a covering, a sealed cover, then it would prevent tuma from coming in, achi fa'as rupo, until the majority of the utensil has broken off, meaning so there is one more shear that it has to get to a rove in order to create the tuma inside. What are we talking about over here? Normally, if there's a mace in a dead body in a room, and anything in that room, all the kelim in that room are going to come tame through tumas ohel, through the tuma of the roof, that it's going to create a tumas ohel. However, when it comes to Torah's mechadesh, the Torah tells us when it comes to klicheres, when it comes to earthenware, if it has tamid pasil, if it has a cover, anything, all the contents inside of that tamid pasil by klicheres, by earthenware, would not become tame. They would keep their status as tahor. Now, over here, this thing had lost its status as a klicheres, right? Because it's already broken. So I would have thought that all the contents inside, even if it's covered up, it's not considered a kli anymore. So maybe it should not prevent the tuma from going in. Everything inside of that earthenware vessel should become tame. So the chiddush over here is that if the majority of the utensil is, if as long as the majority of the utensil has not been broken off, like even if there is a huge hole the size of a pomegranate, if it's covered up and it's sealed off, that would still remain tahor. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Vasi Shemati Klicheres Shira Kemotzer Rimon." I had heard when it comes to an earthenware utensil, that the shear is going to be something the size of a pomegranate. So then the Gemara says, Amr lei, Rava responded to him, Shemala Shamata Elab Mukav Tzamed Pesam. Maybe you were hearing the shear over here with regards to an earthenware utensil that was covered up. Maybe that the earthenware utensil that was covered with the sealed lid, it doesn't have to, it's not going to become tummy unless it was, had the shear, if it was a hole the size of a pomegranate. But the Gemara is about to ask, Gemara says, Rava just before, Vaha Rava Hu Da'amar Tzamed Pesil Achiv Ghaz Riba. Rava just told us a different gather that as long as the kli has not been more than 50% broken, if it was 45% broken, as long as, if it's still 45% broken, as long as it's not a majority, then at that point, if you covered it up and it was sealed off, everything inside would still remain taller. It wouldn't be the shear of a smaller shear of the size of a pomegranate. According to him, a size of pomegranate for sure is okay. Even bigger shear, according to Rava, is not problematic. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, there's no answer. Ha beravve, ha bezutre. The first statement of Rava that we're referring to the seal is effective black the tumma. That's talking about the majority of the container, that's with regards to a very large earthenware utensil. However, Hazutra, the second statement of Rava, which is talking about Ravasi, that was talking about a small earthenware utensil, and that is what we learned from there, the difference between Rav Ravay and Zutre. Okay, Mirtz Hashem will pick up with the words of Amar Ravasi and Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.